AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Pod podcast, whatever that means.
AJ, Bridge and Spider and the podcast. We got stuck into slang, Australian slang or old sayings. You know, Peter Everett, he's that hard, the softest part of him's his teeth.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you got breath that would undo a tyre, that's what they say. But grade six, we got a review of the movie Jurassic World from a grade six expert, and also spoke to Shane Jacobson about his brand-new movie, Brother's Nest.
Yeah, and Spider's really happy with me because I'm on a new diet. It's the new craze, the military diet.
Lift, 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 right, lift.
No exercise, no.
Wake up with AJ Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Thank you, Rodney. I just heard one of your stories. There's a problem that Spider won't have today that have and Bridge might have.
What's that?
What's happened?
Well, you wouldn't have shopped in your life, so you won't have to worry about the plastic bag ban from today.
No, you don't put beer in it, you don't put petrol in it, so... Nah,
nothing to worry about. Plastic bags, who cares?
Well, people have got to remember that today is the plastic bag ban, so you've got to take a material bag or just a replacement.
It's just a revenue raise, and I bet you today garbage bags go up compared to what it was yesterday. I bet you they're up today.
Well, you can buy, and I did it in New South Wales over the weekend. They have the 15-cent, like, you know, the Aldi ones, and they're actually good Terry Tough bags. You do use them.
They're actually better bin liners than the cheap ones.
They actually are. Mm. Seriously. So there you go. Well,
how
come on,
Nobby's?
Just less, you know, dolphins to choke. It's a great thing.
Yeah, exactly, Bridget.
Thank you.
Trivia and Nobby's Ark last night, won by Equals MC Hammered.
Oh, again?
Oh, yes. Oh, look, they haven't been up there for a while, Bridgie.
Oh, okay, and, sorry. Well done to them.
And they choke on the big nights.
Got a tin here for the Gimme Five for Kids. So I'll be telling that up later, which was fantastic. Yeah. Thank you very much. Music is the answer is this round. All the answers involve musical instruments.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay.
Area known for planes and ships disappearing.
Oh, yes.
Bermuda. Oh, it's a musical thing, isn't it?
Yes. It's got to be an instrument, yeah?
So,
oh, yeah, yes, clever.
Bermuda.
Triangle.
Yes.
Clever.
Yes, okay.
Clever.
Slang term for a motorcyclist.
A bikey.
Trying to think of what instrument.
Yeah.
Ever heard of the term organ donor?
Oh, that's good.
That is terrible.
This body part is connected to the Eustachia tubes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, ear.
Ear.
Phones.
No.
I'm trying to think of an instrument.
Heard of the eardrum?
Oh, drum, of course, because it's the drum, right.
Radio and TV transmitter site for the Gold Coast.
Mount Tambourine.
Yes.
Tambourine.
Well done.
Finally, the very bottom part of South America.
South America. That'd be rare.
It's not Brazil.
It's a cape.
South America.
Mm.
Cape Horn.
Yes.
Well done.
We're a good team.
Oh, good. Yes. They were hard. They were excellent.
So here we go with the wrong song.
Well done.
Oh, hang on.
Now, if this gets slated, I'm going to be really, really cranky.
Okay. We don't even know what it is, but 13, 27, 10, if you don't like this song, or even if you do like it, ring up and say keep it on. But more importantly, if you don't like it, 13, 27, 10, as soon as we get three, turn it off, AJ.
It goes off.
We turn it off.
Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we've got us a convoy.
This will make it, Peter. Don't worry about that.
It was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth.
I thought that was wrong.
Yeah, so did I.
Cattle with Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We is heading for bear on I-10 about a mile out of Shaky Town. I say, Big Ben, this here's Rubber Duck, and I'm about to put the hammer down.
He's on truckin'.
Cliffy, what do you think?
Ah, leave it on, mate. I love it.
Yay!
Now, you
want to
back off them hogs?
Good,
10-4,
about 5 miles or so.
10,
roger, them hogs is getting intense up there.
What do you think, Leah?
Nah, get it off.
Yeah!
We got it. Oh. We had 85 trucks in all, but there's a roadblock up on the cloverleaf, and them bears was wall to wall. Yeah, them smokies as thick as bugs on a bumper. They even had a bear in the air. I says, calling all trucks, says, here's the duck. We about to go a-hunting the bear.
They love an AJ. Yeah.
You want to give me a 10-9 on that Big Ben?
10-9, Wendy, do you like it or not?
You're still too close. See how them hogs are starting to close up my sinuses. Mercy sakes, you better back off another 10.
What do you think, Wendy?
Well, we
keep it on for all the truckies out there.
Yeah, good on you, Wendy.
We tore up all of our swindle sheets and left them setting on the scales. By the time we hit that shy town, them bears was getting smart. They'd brought up some reinforcements from the Illinois National Guard.
What do you think, Simon?
I'm sorry, guys. Gotta go.
Yeah.
Oh.
One more. And choppers filled the skies. Well, we shot the line. We went for broke with 1,000 screaming trucks and 11 long-haired friends of Jesus in a chartreuse microbus.
Microbus.
Air rubber duck to Sodbuster. Come on there. Yeah, 10-4, Sodbuster. Listen, you want to put that microbus in behind that suicide jockey? Yeah, he's hauling dynamite, and he needs all the help he can get.
Well, we laid a strip for the Jersey Shore, prepared to cross the line. I could see the bridge was lined with bears,
it's a
but
long
it didn't
song.
Have a doggone dime.
Oh, yeah.
I says, Big Ben, this here's a rubber duck. We just ain't going to pay no toll. So we crashed the gate doing 98. I says, let them truckers roll 10-4.
What do you think, Pete?
I'll get it off, please.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
Oh, they never made it to the New Jersey line. They almost made it.
Oh. 1975, it was massive. It was number one on the country chart and the pop chart as well. C.W. McCall, a character co-created and voiced by Bill Fries, along with Chip Davis.
All right.
Yeah, it was a big song.
Yeah, Chippy it Davis. Was. It was. It was a great song.
Here we go. It's AJ Bridge and Spiders. Name that year.
Name that year. It's a competition we play each day. There's three selections of history. And Bridge, check your buzzer, please.
Bridge.
Up against Spider, check your buzzer.
Spider.
And then Rod has to clean up the mess.
Well, he did it yesterday. We didn't need him.
No, we didn't.
He's the sweepinator.
Actually, Rod, you'll remember this because I know I'm going to be barreled down for this one. We're celebrating the World Cup in soccer because it's on, right?
Is there another soccer question?
Yeah, remember Zidane? Remember Zidane?
Zinedine Zidane.
Yeah, remember that, Rod?
Yes, I do.
Thank goodness you do. Thank goodness you do. So there was an incident.
Okay.
Right, by a French player. What's his name again, Rod?
Zinedine Zidane.
Okay, and he headbutted an Italian player in a World Cup. And this was the incident.
Materazzi, Zidane, the exchange words. And now this is what everyone will be talking about for Zinedine Zidane. Why, oh why,
oh,
would
why?
He do that in his final international as he gets the red card? And isn't that a shot? Zinedine Zidane walking by the World Cup.
It's interesting. You remember Alistair Lynch in the AFL? He was going out like Zinedine Zidane then. He was playing his last game. It was in a grand final.
Mm-hmm.
And he was playing against one of the Wakeland sisters. And he threw about 35 haymakers. Because he couldn't get... If he got reported, it didn't matter because he was retiring anyway.
His last game.
Yeah, so it was his last game. So Alistair Lynch, he gets embarrassed. He threw about 35 haymakers. Did not land one of them. Not one of them landed. They were all these custard tarts. But he ended up getting fined. But look... I'm going to go back. It's either going to be, well, yes, it's going to be one of three, I think. 2010, 2006, or 2002. Which one? I'd have no idea because it's when the World Cup's played.
Every 4 years, is
yeah.
it?
So I am going to go right in the middle. I'm going to go 06.
Yes.
Wow.
Again, I'm just really happy that question's over and done
yeah.
with.
That's why I thought I'd chuck in the Alistair Lynch one to try and make it interesting.
Oh, good on you. Well done. I listened to that bit.
It was a big controversy. It was massive.
Yeah, particularly. Huge.
I have heard that name's entered in, Zidane.
It was the last game he ever played, and he headbutted an Italian.
Can I ask, going back to the AFL, what's a custard tart?
A haymaker, like a big punch that doesn't land.
Oh, okay.
A big custard tart.
That's good.
Yeah, threw it from the hip, got nowhere.
Now, Bridgie, we'll help you out with this one. I'm sure you'll get this. Name that year.
Yes, Duran Duran. In fact, I had a version of that song that was live, and every time I hear that, because Simon Levon's voice goes, so he's singing it live, I think it was on Countdown or something, and he goes, "The fatal kiss is all we need," and his voice completely broke. It was awesome. What year? Duran Duran.
Yeah. A View to a Kill. It was from a James Bond movie.
Sure was. And that James Bond movie is such a good song, actually. That James Bond movie had a Grace...
Grace Kelly.
Kelly.
Oh, Jones.
Grace Jones in it. Who was crazy. I saw Grace Jones a few years ago at Blues Fest. She spent the whole time... She is just rigged. She is just so muscly.
Joseph.
She spent the whole gig doing... Hula hooping at the same time as singing. She was the original Lady Gaga, the original crazy. That was Bridge 85.
Yes.
We are on fire.
One all.
And don't forget, if you are dancing into the fire, wear the asbestos suit.
Mm.
Absolutely. One all.
How many times have you burnt your feet in fires?
Here we go. Yeah, we're going to the movies. Name that year.
Visualize all those people that have been mean to you, and then I want you to attack.
What's the matter with you, boy? You too stupid?
No.
No what?
Now everyone will feel his pain.
Adam Sandler in The Waterboy.
Oh.
This was his downhill spiral, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say? We had this and Little Nicky and...
The one with the twins.
It was just terrible. It was just childish.
It was after Caddyshack.
Crap.
Not Caddyshack. What was the other one?
He was awesome in that. Happy Gilmore. There was a few great ones, like 50 First Dates and stuff, and then just this.
Waterboy, I'm thinking late.
Funk.
Am I thinking about right? Mid to late 90s. Spider, I'm going to say 97?
No.
I'm going to say Bridge. That the funky, dirgy era was around 2001.
No.
Ooh.
Rockin'?
Who cares?
Oh, don't.
1998.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
Well done.
Well done, Adam.
Spider wins the day because you were closest to the pin with 97. How are you going this week? Pretty good.
Yeah, coming off two wins. I can count them this week. AJ, you don't know a lot about this, Bridge. You're going to know a little bit about it very, very shortly. I am all over it. I'm talking about weddings and marriage and wedding rings.
Oh, okay. You're the expert in the room.
I'm the expert in the room. I did have one on my first marriage, I remember, and I went for a swim at up on the Sunshine Coast and lost it.
Oh, what a shame for you. You lost your...
Very disappointing when you're playing top grade footy. So I've never, and I broke my finger playing football, so I've never been able to actually put on a wedding ring. So I've never worn one.
That's been handy too, hasn't it?
Well, a lot of tradies. And give us a call if you don't wear a wedding ring and why you don't wear one. There's a lot of people out there that don't for different reasons. Some tradies don't want to get caught in some of the tools. We've got adventurers who are, you know, sports people who get sick of taking it on and off, so they don't want to wear it.
I get it. Like a lot of jobs, it can get scratched up.
Yeah.
I kind of get that, but I also think it's a cop-out. Come on, you're going to wear around your neck as well or something.
This is why I want to talk about it, because, you know, if it's good for the geese, it's good for the gander. One in, all in. And if I've got to start wearing a wedding ring, I'm going to make sure every male shows the same sacrifice and wears a wedding ring from now on.
Oh, it's tough, isn't it, for you?
Yes.
How would you feel if your wife didn't wear one in public?
Well,
I mean, she's a beautiful woman. Well, she would be snapped up. Imagine if the women in your life went, you know what, nah, I'm not going to because I'm a receptionist and it's really hard when I type.
Well,
it's really hard as a nurse when I'm administering drugs to wear a wedding ring.
Well, Cherie, my wife, found a place. It's called, I don't know if you say Qualo, or it's Q-A-L-O.
Right.
Qualo?
Don't know. Qualo?
Qualo.
So Q-A-L-O. And they now have silicone wedding rings. So they only, they break if anything more than 20 kilos of pressure's put on them.
Okay.
So have a look at that, Bridge. See, I've got a wedding ring. I've never worn one in my life. But they come in all different colours and come in all different shapes and sizes.
That's good because my tap's leaking at home and I really need a washer.
Yeah. Well,
looks like a black washer on your
finger.
Yeah,
but that's the only one I got. But there's a lot of different colours and different braces. But this means that every male out there now has got absolutely no excuse to not wear a wedding ring. So if you're a tradie, if you're an adventurer, if you love your surfing, you don't want to lose this wedding ring, this never will get lost. And they're not that expensive, so you can always replace it. So you always now, and if I'm wearing one, I'm going to make sure everyone's got one.
Sucked in. It actually looks good on your finger. It's amazing how you deliberately broke your wedding ring finger, isn't it?
Yeah. David at Carrara, do you wear one?
My wife never bought me one.
Your wife never bought you one?
No, well, I bought hers, so why shouldn't she buy mine?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, she never did, so I won't wear one. I'm not going to buy one.
That's never too late, Dave.
Never too late, Dave. Look at this. You've got to get one of these. So we want to know, 13, 27, 10, is there tradies out there, is there people, and girls and guys, do you not wear wedding rings and why? Why don't you wear your wedding ring? Is it because of your job? Is it because you've broken your finger? Because I've got a solution for you.
Oh, you look weird. It's weird.
I know.
You with the wedding ring on.
Well, I've never worn any jewellery in my life. You think that's weird. I don't wear anything. Well, it's not really jewellery. As you say, it's more like a washer, but it's still weird.
Looks like a washer.
It does. It does.
And my tap is leaking at home, so can I have your wedding ring?
Two birds, one stone.
13, 27, 10.
Now, while I was playing footy, I conveniently broke my wedding finger.
Yeah, conveniently. Yeah. It's amazing you strapped up the rest of your hand and it was just that finger all vulnerable on its own, sticking out, ready to be broken.
The wedding ring finger's no good, so I could never wear a wedding ring. And then over the weekend, my wife, Cherie, found a new place that has them for sale, and they're silicone. So they're for all tradies and for people who have got broken fingers or adventurers.
Yes.
Quayo or Qualo, how do you say
Qualo.
Qualo,
that's
there you
what
go.
We think anyway.
Qualo, Q-A-L-O. Anyway, they have wedding rings for males and females. So now I've got to wear a wedding ring, and I'm thinking, you know what? If I have to, I'm going to tell everyone. So now everybody has to wear a wedding ring with no excuse.
We've got Tony on the phone here.
Tony in Ashmore, do you wear a wedding ring or not?
Only on the weekends, mate, because I'm a welder through the week. They arc out. They can arc out in a little bit dangerous. So I just put mine on the weekends.
You know what? That's when your wife probably appreciates it the most.
Yeah.
It's the weekends, right?
Holly at Helensvale. Wedding rings. Do you wear them?
No. I've been married twice before and I did wear them, but then I started a new career as a massage therapist and I just can't wear a wedding ring now because it hurts my clients.
Of course.
Oh. Yeah, it hurts your clients. And also you could lose it with all the oil.
Yeah. Well, I never thought of that, but I just know that the friction hurts the clients.
Oh, what about the silicone ones? These could be primo, so these would be perfect right up your alley. You'll never have to not wear one again.
If my partner was listening, he'd be laughing.
Hey, Holly, give your business a plug. Where is it?
Oh, it's in Helensvale, Karma Solutions.
Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
Cheers.
Bye.
Tristan in South Tweed, do you wear a wedding ring or not?
No, because I work out in the natural areas for the Doncaster City Council and I'd lose it, but I wear it on the weekend.
Oh,
well, you won't lose this one. Yeah. You won't. This is you can wear this every day of the week now, so your wife will be pumped.
Yes, I'd think about wearing one.
Oh, good on you, Tristan, you legend. No, because why would it be just about your wife wearing one? Yes. Why wouldn't you wear one? Because, Tristan, I know you're totally in love with your wife.
Yes, I am, yep.
Oh. See, and you were, why wouldn't you show it off with pride that you were married?
I don't know. I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
Look, I'm not a fan.
Hey, AJ, look. Did you just see that? Spider said he doesn't know and then crossed his arms so he could hide his rubber wedding ring under his armpit.
You're a shocker.
I'm not the only one who doesn't like wearing wedding
rings.
You're
happy to ink up your whole arm with weird crap and stars and fake bangles and stuff, but you won't wear a bit of rubber on your finger.
Yeah, good call, Bridgie.
Thank you, Del.
Hey, listen.
I'm not the only one that doesn't want to wear a wedding ring.
Come on.
Yeah, you will be able to get Bridget back in a moment, though. She's at it again. You've got no idea what she's going to do and talk about in the next half hour. How long have you been working with Bridgie now?
8 years.
I reckon you've heard it probably 88 times.
We may as well be married, you and I. It's ridiculous.
Do you want to wear this ring?
No!
You'll find out what she's come up with in the next half hour. Bridge.
Stick with me.
Oh, no.
No!
I'm excited. I know what it's about.
AJ will be good. AJ, I reckon you'll be really good. Because, AJ, you're pretty good like me. You don't have a lot of sugar and you're pretty good sometimes with food. You're more about the exercise, which is good. I'm more about the food.
And I have... So what are you doing?
Okay, I'm confused. Well, look, there's a new diet in town. Hang on a minute. Look. Honestly, I went through the first stages of love where I wasn't hungry at all and I hardly ate anything. And now that Jamie and I are very established as a couple and I'm cooking bigger dinners and... You just eat more. You eat out more or whatever. So,
well, you're very comfortable now.
Very comfortable.
What do you mean?
You don't want to get so comfortable you're wearing tracky dacks around the house and just eating bowls of ice cream and stuff. But, no, look, I just can't fit into my clothes at the moment. Just a little notch out. So there's a new diet in town. No, it is. It's a brand new one. Oh, the military diet. No, it's true.
Well, can I ask very quickly?
Mm.
How's this changing from the 7-2 diet, the 6-3 diet, the 9-1, the Tai Chi diet, the diet with Dr. Lisa, Dr. Greg or Dr. Phil, whichever one, the low fat, the high carbs, the no carbs, the soup diet, the fruit diet, the salad diet, every other diet I've heard about for the late years.
Well done.
What difference is this diet?
You know, I just realised, AJ, he listens.
Good. I do listen.
You do listen. You remember all of my diets.
I know so much about diets and I've never done one.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
What's the military
Well,
diet,
look, you Rich? Get to a stage in your life where shaving your legs before you jump on the scales, you know you're in trouble. You know that you're just trying desperately to lose a bit of weight. Well, I call it the Delta India Echo Tango Diet because that's what diet stands for. Delta India Echo Tango. This is a real diet. So instead of the 5-2 diet, it's the 10-4 Roger that diet. It is true. This is what happens. Ducky, I don't know why it's called military, but you just don't eat a lot. So breakfast can be half a grapefruit, a slice of toast, 2 tablespoons of peanut butter and a cup of coffee. How's dinner? 3 ounces of any type of meat, a cup of green beans.
3 ounces is 85 grams.
Half a banana, a small apple, and a cup of vanilla ice cream. I'm not a big ice cream fan, but you can have eggs, you can have tuna, you can have, how's this for dinner? 2 hot dogs with no bun.
How many beers?
No, none. You can have crackers, you can have cheddar cheese. So I'm going to try it because they're saying you can lose up to 5 kilos in 4 days.
Wow.
And, hey, look, I'm not a fan of drastic weight loss. All I'm saying is that sometimes if you want to fit into some nice clothes, you've got a big event in town, I think it's a great idea.
I'm going to play a game of footy on Sunday. How many days is that? Have we got enough time?
Yeah, you've got enough time. Just jump on board. Why don't you do it? But I'm not sure why it's called the military diet because it doesn't make sense. I'm sure the toilet's going to cop a few grenades. But I'm going to change my name to Brigadier, I reckon. But, you know, I've been on the miracle diet, which is just eat everything and pray.
Yeah.
And that's been so far not working. But the other one, I'm starting a blog. So I started it yesterday, a diet blog. So I'm going to start this military diet today, which is great.
Already now.
Yeah, but my diary blog I started yesterday. I said, dear diary, day one, I've removed all junk food from my house.
Good work.
It was delicious. So it starts today. Tomorrow we will be broadcasting live from the Tweed Hospital. Of course, we raise money for both children's ward, the Golden Tweed. And the Tweed is very much for the southern end of the coast, from Byron all the way down to even Burleigh. A lot of people use the Tweed. And there's a gorgeous little boy that we have known for many years since he was a bubba. His name is Thomas. And we spoke to his beautiful mama, Kate, recently, all about Thomas and the equipment that the Children's Ward of the Gold Coast University Hospital has needed.
Basically, you go into the hospital and you get all the neonatal doctors, nurses, midwives, everyone comes in. I think I had about 13 people in the room. And so basically, as soon as you give birth, they whisk your baby away and they grab out the ventilators and they basically do everything possible to save his life. Then from there, they go up to the NICU unit. He was at Gold Coast Hospital NICU unit, and they put him in the incubators and hook him all up to ventilators and all of the different machines. And he was in that room for, I think he was in there for about a month, month and a half before he moved into special care. And all up, he was in the hospital for 4 months in total. Obviously, we have to thank all of the very special doctors at Gold Coast Hospital, but without that equipment, they wouldn't have the ability to save his life.
Oh, good on you, Kate. Fantastic story. The story of little Thomas and Kate telling the story, the mum. It's 5 to 7.
Yeah, and we got so much on as well. Don't forget, if you want to get involved in the Gold FM Give Me Five for Kids Golf Day, which is on at Club Parkwood on Friday, ring either here, 13 27 10, or Club Parkwood. And we'll give you the opportunity before 9 o'clock to play the round with myself and Rod McLeod, the A-grader Rod McLeod and the human hacker.
How can your boss say no? If you're saying, boss, let's have a day off, let's do some team bonding and raise money for the sick kids of the Golden Tweed Coast.
Exactly. Yeah, the big festival of golf happening at Club Parkwood on Friday.
And if you're in the lumber industry, you'll be most accommodated by the amount of chopping that will be going on Friday.
We're getting involved in old sayings. Bridget Spider, I think it's hilarious that I keep coming up with all these old sayings.
I love them, though.
I come up with old sayings because I am.
Yeah, but my mum used to always say, I know you're a pain, but you're not made of glass, when I used to stand in front of the television.
I've never heard that one.
Oh, mum used to go, she used to say something about having a hole in it too, and she can't see through it, but she used to say, I know you're a pain, but you're not made of glass. Move out of the way of the television for another word.
Peter, here's one that Ben Franklin invented in 1706 that you love. Beer is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy.
Oh, look at that. But a lot of these sayings, which I love, are so Aussie, and I remember them from my grandpa, I think they're really important to keep because we're getting very Americanized with what we say these days.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to keep this alive.
What do you like? Like, Rod, did you have any? Because and the other one, I always, some of the great ones, like he or she could chew an apple through a picket fence.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's so ugly, she looks like a bulldog chewing a wasp.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
That's a terrible
one.
Yeah,
a couple of other ones, more trouble than a pregnant nun. Who could forget Jack Gibson, the Origin coach, talking about one of his players who was so quick he could turn off the light and get into bed before it got dark.
Oh, yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
And another one who was describing a golfer, he's so dense that light bends around him.
I love that. Mad as a cut snake is an Aussie.
Yes.
A real Aussie one.
What about one, the lazy wind? Goes,
the what?
Lazy wind goes straight through you.
What's that?
When the wind blows. It's that strong, it goes straight through you. It's a lazy wind. It goes straight, doesn't go around you. Hello?
Oh, right. Hello. They're funny. We love them. You know, just the old sayings too. And you know when you've got someone from overseas.
Yeah.
You take them out to dinner or something, you go, wrap your laughing gear around that. And they go, you want me to what? What gear? What are you talking about?
Yeah, we'll chuck a sickie. We'll be right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what? Fair sucker, the sauce bottle. I love that one.
Yeah. And we'll shut your pie hole.
My mum says that.
Does she?
And finishes it with your little turd.
Oh, yeah.
She still does. Shut your pie hole, you little turd.
Yeah.
13, 27, 10, we want to know. Find out some more. When you're growing up, did your grandfather, did your grandmother or your parents or yourself use some of these Aussie slang that's still around?
And there's another Spiegel tent on the way, and they're putting a show in it called Infamous.
Ooh.
So 13, 27, 10, we've got a couple of doubles to that. Spiegel Tent and the show Infamous. Give us a bell.
Get on the dog and bone.
That's it.
Or on the juice.
What's that?
Get on the beers. Let's get on the juice.
It's too early. What are you talking about?
Never too early.
Get on the dog and bone. 13, 27, 10. We're cracking into old sayings and particularly Australian slang.
Yeah. Remember my grandfather used to also say one. It was like, he's got bad breath that would undo a tie.
Oh, that is a beauty. What was the one your mum? Yeah. I'd never heard of that one with your mum.
Oh, my mum undies. She always used to, when we get up and stand in front of the television, I know you're a pain, but you're not made of glass.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. What was it? Did you grow up in a tent, you know, with the doors? Oh, yeah. That was always a beauty, wasn't it?
Eric at Oxenford, what do you got?
Good Aussie saying there, chuck a shrimp on the barbie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. The back of that one too. See you around like a rissole.
Oh, that's a beauty.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Eric. Amber in Coomera. Hi, Amber. What's your saying?
My husband always says he's so hungry he could eat the crutch out of a low-flying duck.
Oh, yes.
Hilarious. That's
that
right. That's a
one
beauty.
Which is quite hard to imagine.
Yeah.
It is true.
It's worth serving up one day and say, there you go.
Thanks, Amber.
Dave in Reedy Creek. Good morning, Dave. What's your old saying you love?
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, like my granddad was just the ultimate slanger. Mm. So I remember him saying to me one day, you know, there's nothing worse than after you get off the dog and bone and you've got to grab your trouble and strife in the billy lids and go round the jack corner to get a Nelly Bly and a nice and nasty with dead horse.
Oh, okay, let's break it down. You've got that one too, AJ. You ready? So it's get off the phone, grab your wife and kids, go round the corner to the shop and grab yourself a pie. Right. And a pasty.
Oh, thanks. That's awesome.
A bit of sauce. A bit of sauce.
Yeah.
Dead horse. Oh, that's funny.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Thanks, Dave.
Chris in Highland Park, what's that? What are those Aussie slang sayings that you love?
I had an old boss that used to ask you how you, when you asked him how he was going, he said, snakes don't wear sneakers and eggs don't bounce.
What?
Snakes don't wear sneakers.
What's that mean? I'm confused.
Snakes have got no legs, so they don't wear sneakers.
Yeah.
And eggs don't bounce.
So they must. Break. So he's feeling great, I suppose.
That's it.
Okay.
Thanks for that. Oh, brilliant.
Thank you.
Thanks,
see
Chris.
You, mate.
Brad at Oxenford, sayings, what do you got?
Yeah, mate. When you're a little bit excited, you're as toe as a Roman candle.
We love that.
Yes, very excited. Thanks, Brad.
Good on you, Brad.
Hey, Rod, remember Lee Marvin?
I was born.
I always use that one.
Chasing song.
When you're hungry. I'm Lee Marvin. Starving.
Oh, starving.
Starving, yes.
What?
Yeah, he just sound about 102.
Yeah.
Oh well,
with his haircut, he looks it.
David Rooney Creek, mate, congratulations! You're off to Infamous. It's in the Spiegel tent.
Oh,
it's going to be a great night there for the show Infamous, and you want to double to that with AJ Bridge and Spider.
He's a father of four, a decorated AFL legend, winner of the Western Port High Grade 4 Knitting Prize, and he's not afraid to speak his mind. This is Spider Spray, hitting the important and not so important issues.
When you advertise something and you advertise it, you want to keep that slogan, make sure you stick to it. We are impatient as human beings and we want to make sure if you are putting your brand to something, deliver it. And I'm talking about the fast food chains all around the Gold Coast.
No, hang on. You're impatient. Bridget
no,
and I are not.
Hang on. No, it's
you're
called,
so impatient.
No, hang on. No. It's called fast food. That means it's supposed to be fast.
It is.
There are plenty of fast food drive-thrus that I've seen lately all around the Gold Coast and the Tweed that have multiple lanes. Not one lane. They have two. Some of them have three lanes. Multiple ordering booths.
Mm.
And during peak hours, during the fast food drive-through, if it's a pickup or drop-off at school through some of the coffee shops, or if it's a fast food drive-throughs on weekends and on public holidays, they have multiple booths. Why then do they only have one of the booths open? They've got multiple booths. Open the whole lot. I don't want to sit six or seven cars deep when you got multiple booths, but you've only got one booth.
Hey,
open.
Go into the store.
Well, hang on. It's called fast food. They put it on there as a fast food option. It's not fast food. This has been operating since 1940s and 1950s, and it is actually getting slower now than it ever has been before. Mm. So if I say to all the dealerships out there that advertise fast food and you've got the drive-through, make it fast and stop that arm.
You've been sprayed by spider.
World problem, Bruce.
It is. It's a firstie, isn't it? That's for sure. Hey, although I did go one the other day and I was like, what are you, killing the chooks back
exactly
there?
Exactly right.
Jeez, you're plucking them. Hurry up.
Hurry up.
We love Shane Jacobson. Yes. He's so funny. He's such a lovely guy. And he's best known for the movie Kenny here in Australia. He's got together with his brother.
He snapped his Achilles the other day.
Oh, he certainly did. He was supposed to be live with us.
That hurts.
Oh, yes, it does. There's a new movie with his brother released called Brother's Nest. It's a dark comedy. Have a listen.
All I wanted was a quiet place to come and eat some of Auntie Shirl's ginger fluff cake. I didn't get to the third bite. Wallop.
Oh, I've got goosebumps. Shane Jacobson, thanks so much for joining us. Look, we have this little segment called Celebrity Stories. So we'd love you to start off with a story about yourself, Shane, that no one would know about you.
Well, something I've not told too many people, I guess, is more to the point. When I was a kid, we were down near a river that used to be located right near the house that I grew up in. And some guys were in it. And they kind of turned it into, it was a Volkswagen Beetle. And they kind of turned it into a bit of a rally car. But the thing was, the back of it was on fire, because that's just sometimes what Volkswagen Beetles did. The coil used to catch on fire. And look, so we were waving them down, trying to stop them. And me and my mate stopped them and said, hey, you know, the back of the car's on fire. So we threw a whole bunch of dirt on it. But the problem was the dirt had sticks in it. And all that did was fuel the fire. In the end, we all just went, we can't put this thing out. And we went, you know what, there's a pretty obvious solution to this. Right there, just only 5 metres away, is a river, which is made of water.
No.
So we helped them push this car in the river. I went home and said to my mum, save the car today, because the back of it was on fire. How cool is that? We put the fire out by pushing into the river. Yeah. And she said, no, darling, we're in the western suburbs of Melbourne. You just helped some people push a stolen car into the river. And I was grounded for 2 weeks.
Oh, you sweat 2 weeks.
That's the best.
I couldn't believe I got grounded. I thought it was the coolest story ever. And the second she said the sweetheart, it would have been stolen, I went, oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That's why they didn't care that it went in the river. And she said, and now the council have to pull the car out of the river, which is going to cost them a fortune. Having said that, two things. She didn't appreciate the joy of watching a car float for as long as it did before it sinks. That was amazing. If you've got one of the things, I suggest you try it. Amazing.
Yeah.
Forget Mentos in a bottle of Coke. Push a Volkswagen Beetle into a river. They float forever. And it became a popular fishing spot for years, and no one gave me credit for it.
With its own man-made reef.
Man-made reef. I think the guy there had a man-made reefer at the time.
Well, this looks amazing, this film, and, you know, it's about family loyalties. Black comedy, it's hard to pull off, but you and your brother, Clayton, do you have that sibling rivalry going on?
Look, no, we don't. We're incredibly close. Having said that, Clay's 7 years older than me, so, you know, we had moments when we were younger. But the truth is, I mean, I drove him mad because I was his brother, and I think any younger sibling would know this. You kind of idolise your older brothers or sisters, and you tend to want to be around them, and they think the very opposite. They could think of nothing worse than being near. So we had that, but we're incredibly close. You know, we made Kenny together, and you know, we haven't worked on a film as such together. We've worked on projects together, but this was a real passion project, and it is. So it's called Brother's Nest, and it's you're right. It's a dark comedy. But can I tell you my favourite joke of the week? Am I allowed to waste your time?
Please do.
The ringmaster walks into all of the people in the circus and he says, well, we've been waiting long enough. He said, I've finally got the news we've been waiting for. He said, we have finally got a contortionist to join the circus. And everyone applauded. They're thrilled. They've been waiting for years for this. Mm. And someone yelled out, how flexible is she? He said, look, if I'm honest, she can't do Thursdays.
Boom, shakalaka. You're on some good, you know, painkillers, hey?
Funny guy.
Yes.
Thanks, Shane.
Tomorrow morning, we're going to be broadcasting live from the Tweed Hospital for Gimme Five for Kids. We're going to have a whole heap of celebrities chained to beds, raising a little bit of money. And also on Friday, if you want to get involved, we've got the Festival of Golf, and that's at Club Parkwood. So if you want to play a round of golf, even get on the simulators, a little bit of mini putt, which we all love. We're going to be a part of it all day there on Friday. And our Gold FM Big ball drop. The ball drop.
Yes.
It was going to be on Friday. It is on the 4th of July. Okay. So just going back 10 days just for the helicopter to make sure that we can get the helicopter in the air, dropping the balls above the green. So $20 a ball. That's on the 4th of July. But big festival on Friday. Come out because we're all going to be out there on Friday.
We want you to be a part of it. See what I did there? We want you to be a part of it. I am manning the putt-putt because, look, I can have an odd off day, a bit like when I play pool. But I tell you, I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll talk myself up. Can't do the long drive, but can do a putt. No, I can. It'll be lots of fun.
$5,000 in the secret sound. You crack at that just after Rod. And then in the next half hour here at Gold, our own Bridget is going to take an insight into a very tragic incident that happened 2 days ago. The young female comedian, Eurydice, who was very, very sadly and brutally attacked and her life taken in Melbourne over the weekend. And an insight into that from you, Bridget, in the next half hour.
Yeah.
We're sitting around the breakfast table this morning preparing for the show and Bridget Daly took an interesting perspective on what turned out to be just a disastrous, horrific situation last week in Melbourne with the death of the young female comedian Eurydice in a park.
Princess Park.
Yeah, Princess Park. Carlton. That you know very well. You've trained there.
Yeah.
And your take on it is interesting this morning, Bridge.
Well, look, a lot of people are pointing fingers. The police are saying, you know, obviously don't walk through a park. And a lot of people are saying that Eurydice shouldn't have been walking through a park at night. A valid point. However, a lot of people are now pointing the finger towards the men and saying, men, you need to be more considerate. You need to understand that. It's a heightened society. I mean, it's always been around that we've had to be safe.
Yeah.
But absolutely, when something like this happens, it does. It makes you extremely heightened. So I just thought that there's certain situations that, and Camille, our beautiful producer's in here as well. So we, as women, we're grown up to always be vigilant and absolutely our parents teach us about stranger danger. Mm. But there's certain situations that it does go through a female's mind. And I want to know if any of these thoughts ever go through your mind as a male, just to give you a bit of perspective on what it's like to be a female. So, for example, do you ever worry when you pull up to a car park that's underground? Do you ever think, oh, I won't park next to a pylon inside the shopping centre just in case there's someone standing there?
Never think of that.
I was always told by my sisters, never park next to a pylon.
Wow.
Do you ever not, you know, in the taxi line and someone goes, I'm going this way, you're going that way? Do you ever think, oh, I better not share a cab with someone?
No.
No.
What about, here's another one for you. Do you ever worry when you get in an Uber or a taxi?
Do I ever worry about getting in? No.
These are all concerns for women. No. We always put it in our phone or write it down, the number of the cab. Do you ever go for a run in the afternoon and think, whoops, this is a bit of a dodgy area. I'm a bit worried someone might jump out of the bush.
No.
Oh, not really, but I'd be careful where I ran if I was in certain places.
Do you ever worry that if a woman looks you up and down and leers at you, that there could be someone else a bit further up that could, you know, actually do something about that situation and harass you?
Oh, you'd be aware of that. You, if somebody was, you know.
No, but a female.
But we're not a reptile.
I know you're not a reptile. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying in this situation is what I'm trying to say, and this is not for you to be defensive.
I'm not being defensive. I'm just saying we're not a reptile, though.
No, so exactly right. But what I'm saying, this is not about. This is about, in your brains, the difference between females and males of what goes through our heads in this situation. And it's not us being paranoid. Mm. It's just this is what it's like to be a female.
Yeah.
When I leave work, when I come into the car park, every day I'm concerned. Does that ever go through your mind when you come into the car park?
No.
And Cam, you've got a few situations as well.
Yeah, so I think the other one that I find really interesting, and we were having a chat about this to a few guys around the office yesterday, is that when you go to an event, we obviously go to a lot of events.
Yep.
So when you're going to leave that event, as a female, you're always thinking, where is my car parked and how is the best place or the best way for me to get to my car and the safest way for me to get to my car? Whereas from a male perspective, that thought probably doesn't even cross your mind.
No,
we just try and get out of there.
Yeah, exactly. But you don't actually strategize about. Yeah, and you went for a run the other day too, and you're late.
Yeah, and even simple things like going for a run through the Burleigh Parklands, I'll always be, heightened security for myself when I'm running. I'll just have that thought that if I do run past someone, you do, you get a little bit anxious. You get a little bit like, what if something did happen here? Which is a thought that might not cross a male's mind when they're running through a park in the middle of the day.
Mm.
So tell me, as a general rule, do most women think like this?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it is good. But we're saying the difference is, that's the difference between men and women, is that, you know, when we're told not to wear short skirts and we're not to do this and not to walk through a park. But there's just this situation where, as women, this is what goes through our minds on a regular basis. Mm. And the crappy part about this is because most of society are good.
Yeah.
Most men are. But it's these reptiles that are out there that unfortunately have fashioned our sense of what is right, what is wrong, and how we have to be vigilant. And I don't, it's not paranoia at all. And, you know, an interesting point for you, Peter, is that I know that we give you a bit of crap for living at Sanctuary Cove, but the real reason is that you want Cherie to be secure if you're not around.
Well, the heart there, well, I travel a fair bit, so the idea behind that was the fact that the security there was very, very good. So you knew that, you know, Cherie in Boston, when you're away for a few days,
you got
absolutely nothing to worry about.
Yeah, and as a female too, when I did live on my own, and I did have a situation with a stalker a few years ago, and I had to have police patrols, and it was really heavy duty. I'd have to ring you guys before I left home and come to work, and then we'd meet me in the car park, which was really lovely, because you are very heightened in those situations, because you think if someone breaks into your house and it's a man, they may not just break into your house. They may do other things to you, and that's the scary
part. The hard thing is, okay, well, the incident that happened last week.
Yeah.
You know, it was in an area. Should she not have walked through? You know, this is the thing that I think most people are really confused about. Should she have walked through that park? Of course she should have been allowed to. 100% she should have been allowed to.
Yeah, I think...
I
think what's come out of this, like you've said before, these things have happened before. They've happened for years and years and years. But it's now about changing that conversation and taking it away from being just about the female's responsibility.
Yes.
Yeah.
And should she?
Yeah, to changing it to be a little bit more about, well, from a male's perspective, is there anything that we can be doing as a society to make people feel, or women feel, a bit safer? So, for example, if you're walking down the street at 8 o'clock at night and you see a woman approaching you, walking on the same side of the street, do you cross the road?
Well, no.
Exactly. And so from a female's point of view, you automatically feel sort of threatened when you see a male walking towards you, which we don't mean to do. It's just built into us to be like that. So it's just changing that thought pattern so that guys can know, hey, I can just do these tiny things here or there to make women feel safer.
That's right.
Yeah, Camille raises a really interesting point here when you consider that the vast majority of perpetrators of acts of violence, 9 out of 10, even higher, are committed by men.
Yeah.
Not females.
Yeah. And that's just the stats. That's what it's at. So that's what we're trying to get across to guys, is that there are good guys out there. And I want to praise the guys next for the ones that make sure they text their partner, that to make sure they say, what's the cab number you're in? That say, when are you leaving home and when are you getting there? It's not out of paranoia from men. It's just their understanding that, yes, we have to be more vigilant. And if this stops more crimes that we see last week, well, that's just even better.
And we continue Bridget's view of this terrible situation last week with the death of the young female comedian in Carlton, Eurydice. We've got a very passionate call here from Ron from Bigger Waters.
I get up at 4 a.m. and I go for a walk at 5 a.m. to go and get my paper. Mm. Now, the women who I see, walking their dogs are always nervous, and it's understandable. Yes. I'm nervous.
Yeah.
It's the attitude that is suddenly embedded into our society. And, you know, believe you me, most of the girls who see me walking to get my paper, walking home from getting my paper, usually come and join me because they feel safer walking with a male.
Well, Ron, what do you think advice you could give to other men to make women feel safer?
Basically, learn from your fathers. Learn respect for women, right? Women are people that you care for, you take care of, and you protect. And if you see some clown who thinks he's tough because he's got tattoos or wants to be a big man or wants to stand over someone, then be a man and stand up for that woman.
Very good point.
I got goosebumps. That's beautifully said, Ron. And thousands have gathered around Australia for tributes for Eurydice Dixon, because it really has stirred this up about that feeling of security and safety and partners of females who are worried all of a sudden. And I think the tributes around Australia were sending a message that women have the right to be safe anywhere, anytime. And here was a lady at the memorial yesterday.
I hope people remember this and remember that, you know, we're all responsible. It's not just women.
Yeah, exactly right. And you know what? I want to put a positive spin on this because let's not focus on the minority.
Yeah.
Like Ron said, let's focus on the majority of people. So this open letter to the good men goes out to also Ron. So to the men who are gentlemen and protect their partners and female friends, who may not understand how vigilant we need to be as women, but you still acknowledge that fear is just always bubbling under the surface for us. Thank you for understanding that we may be tough, but we are also vulnerable. We appreciate when you ask if we feel safe and not, you'll be right. Thank you for your thoughtfulness, asking us to send a text when we leave work in the dark, or a text to say we got to work safely. We love your advice not to park near a pylon in case someone is lingering, not to speak on the phone and be distracted at night when you're walking, to always stay in contact with you, not out of paranoia, but complicit understanding of how vulnerability and fear can strike us often. Thank you for your love and concern when leaving late night shopping, that you feel safer if we would ask the security guard to walk us back to our car in the back lot. Thank you for your empathy, your consideration, your tenderness, your understanding, and of course your respect. Because the good men like you far outweigh the sinister, sick and twisted minority who have done so much damage. So to the good men, thank you. Thank you for understanding our securities, who don't tell us we're paranoid. Thank you for providing us with that deep, primal feeling of security and protection, for being our sanctuary, because that is the greatest gift you can give any woman.
With the school holidays up and about at the moment, I think private schools are on holidays at the moment, public start next week, but one of the biggest movies of the year has been released. It's called Jurassic World, so part of the Jurassic Park franchise, but have a listen to the trailer. Here it is.
I'm really proud of you for going on this trip.
You're going to have so much fun.
What kind of dinosaur are they cooked up in that lab? Evacuate the island. She's a highly intelligent animal. She will kill anything that moves.
Oh, God.
Ah, the old feet in Jurassic, we love it, don't we? The feet sound effects?
Yeah.
The feet sound effects.
those big dinosaur feet.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, Jurassic World out tomorrow at Event Cinemas. Go check it out. But look, I've got the grade six boys, the school holiday movie critics, I'm calling them.
Aww.
So they're going to critique a couple of movies. They give an honest review. We got Reese, Boston and Tynan. And I started off with Reese and asking about his thoughts on Jurassic World.
It was great. I loved it. It's my favourite one in the series so far. Has lots of suspense. It's very dramatic and it's quite scary.
Very suspenseful. It was a great movie and, yeah, it just kept you on the edge of your seat the whole time.
It was a very good movie. It was my favourite of the series, even though it's the only one I've seen. And I would like to see another one after it.
Did it give you nightmares at all?
No.
No.
But it was still scary.
No.
It wasn't scary enough to give you nightmares.
What'd you have to eat, most importantly, at this movie?
I had a frozen soft drink and popcorn.
I can't remember. I think I had popcorn and a Slurpee.
I only had a Chop Top. I had a salted caramel Chop Top.
Okay, and out of 10 Chop Tops, what do you give it?
9.9989.
9. So you recommend everyone get along and see Jurassic World?
Yeah,
definitely.
Unless you're like 3.
Yeah.
Hang on, I reckon I'll be scared.
No, they loved it. They reckon it was an awesome movie and they've seen the others as well, a few of them. So there you go, Jurassic World out tomorrow. It's going to be massive. It's going to break a lot of blockbusters over the holiday periods. Event Cinemas tomorrow.
Things are really heating up with the greatest decade of all time. You've lived through them each with definable moments in time, controversy, human achievement, trendsetters, and of course, the music. We've got 1990 v 2006.
Oh!
George. Sending all too soon.
You'll see. You've got to go the 90s, don't you?
Well, the 90s have to take it out. They have been on fire.
Yes, they have. Come on.
Al's got that next here at Gold 92.5. Have a good Wednesday.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Weekdays from 5 on 92.5 Gold FM.